husband Chris Walker never liked me, or our son. My son Aaron Walker's last birthday wish was for us three to go to Disneyland. I begged him endlessly, and he finally agreed. The night before our departure, Chris vanished. Aaron passed away with his wish unfulfilled. After handling the funeral alone, I discovered Chris in a photo on my sister Sharon Norris's Instagram post. The caption read, "I said I wanted to see the snow, and you took me thousands of miles just to find it." It wasn't surprising that Chris would drop everything for Sharon. I was never the exception with him. He labeled me as someone who would do anything to climb the social ladder. How could I compare to his eternal beloved? I returned from the cemetery to the villa, our supposed marital home. Yet Chris rarely set foot here. It was more of a shared residence with Aaron. Aaron's presence was evident everywhere. I wept as I began clearing away the traces of our life together. Every remembrance of Aaron and me had to go. Dragging my suitcase downstairs, I ran into Chris. He was carrying Sharon into the house. His face was etched with concern. He brushed past me, treating me like a stranger under the same roof. His eyes never even glanced my way. I had grown accustomed to this. With Sharon around, I was invisible to him. Sensing the suitcase at my feet, Chris stopped in his tracks. His voice was devoid of emotion. "Amber Norris, another one of your dramatic stunts?" Sharon, clinging affectionately to Chris' neck, looked up at me. "Amber," I twisted my ankle, and since Chris said it's close by, he brought me here to take care of it. "You don't mind, do you?" It was just a twisted ankle. I watched as Chris gently settled her on the sofa, and then fetched an ice pack to soothe her foot. He treated her as if she were made of glass. Love and its absence were always evident. I finally said, "Chris, as you wish, we're done, broken up." I almost slipped and mentioned divorce. After all, we only had a hurried wedding ceremony. We didn't even get a marriage license. Chris thought I was jealous of Sharon and didn't even look up. "What now? Do you change your tactics? You think you can't threaten me with your son, so now you're using yourself as leverage?" A year ago, Aaron was diagnosed with brain cancer. Since then, he has received countless critical illness notices. He desperately called, longing for a glimpse of Chris. But Chris never visited him, so he thought I was using Aaron to gain sympathy and manipulate him. After a decade of shared life, this was how little he thought of me. I wiped away my tears. "Think what you want. I'm leaving." I started to leave with my luggage. Sharon interjected, "Chris, I heard you planned to take Aaron to Disneyland. You didn't cancel that for the mountain trip with me, did you?" Amber is upset. Chris soothingly replied, "Don't worry, there are priorities. We can go to Disneyland anytime, but once the snow melts, we won't be able to see it like this." Hearing this, I scoffed coldly. Ignoring them, I dragged my suitcase out. Chris seemed to sense something was off. He rushed forward and grabbed my hand, his voice laced with frustration. "It's the middle of the night and you insist on—" He saw my swollen eyes and paused. "Is missing a trip to Disneyland really worth crying over like this?" My eyes must have been crying themselves raw, for I saw a hint of pity in his gaze. "Let me clear my schedule next month, and I'll take Aaron then, okay?" Next month? What next month did Aaron have? If only he cared a bit more about our son, he wouldn't say such foolish things. I pulled my hand away. "No need." Chris stared at his empty palm, momentarily stunned. He never expected the person who used to cling to him would now avoid him like the plague. Snapping back to reality, he tried to catch up, but Sharon grabbed his arm. "Chris, it's all my fault. Even though I knew Aaron was faking his illness, I shouldn't have competed with a child for your attention. Now it's made Amber angry at me." Faking illness? My mind went blank. By the time I snapped back to reality, I had already slapped Sharon across the face. Chris' face, initially tinged with guilt, shifted instantly. Positioning Sharon protectively behind him, he eyed me warily. "Amber, what are you doing? She is your sister." I glared at Sharon. "You'd better watch your mouth." Sharon, looking hurt, pleaded, "Chris, don't let me come between you two. If my sister won't admit that Aaron is faking his illness, I'll just drop it." My brow furrowed as I turned to Chris. "You think Aaron is faking it too?" He remained silent. Looking around, Aaron was nowhere to be seen. With a calm tone, Chris asked, "Where did you whisk him off to again?" He clearly didn't believe me. If only he would come home, he'd see the table covered in medications and medical records. Yet, he never returned. I remember when Aaron knew he didn't have much time left. He wanted one last family trip to Disneyland. I had begged Chris, even going so far as to kneel before him. In the end, I clung to his pants, promising that this would be the last time I would ever bother him. I was willing to set him free. At that moment, he looked down at me, slightly stunned, his eyes filled with both joy and complexity. "You mean that?" "Yes," I murmured, closing my eyes as tears streamed down. Chris was the child I found by the riverbank when we were little. I pleaded with my parents to adopt him. He became my brother. When I was in junior high school, my parents divorced, and Sharon was awarded custody of my father. Since I had always followed Chris around, I clung to his sleeve and begged him to come with me and my mother. This one act of mine earned me Chris's resentment for many years. He had wanted to go with Sharon. Because of me, he could only watch as Sharon went abroad. Later, my mother entrusted me to Chris, saying that only by handing me over to him could she rest in peace. Chris was forced to have a makeshift wedding with me. There were no relatives, no friends, no marriage certificate. He said that this was all I deserved. On her deathbed, my mother even asked us when we would get our marriage certificate. Chris evaded the question. Once out of the hospital room, he lost all his patience. "Wasn't it enough that your mother threatened me into marrying you? Now you want to make it official?" I was about to defend myself. He cut me off. "Don't even think about things you shouldn't. Sharon is coming back. She won't want someone who's been married before," he added. "The most important place should be reserved for the most precious person. Sharon, because of me and Aaron, has been hesitant to accept Chris' proposal. I was even ready to let him go. Why won't he spend one last moment with Aaron? It was one thing for him not to love me, but Aaron was his son too. How could he be so heartless towards Aaron?" I stared at Chris in utter disappointment. Once, I had found his features as picturesque as a painting, but now, his face only filled filled me with disgust. Just as Chris was about to speak, Sharon interrupted. Chris, my foot hurts, and so does my face. Can you check if it's swollen? I wonder if it will affect tomorrow's business event. Chris immediately redirected his attention to her. Sharon took the opportunity to collapse into Chrissy's arms. The slap I had delivered with all my might left a clear handprint on her fair cheek. Tears welled up in Sharon's eyes. Chris, heartbroken, gently wiped her tears away. He used to be quite kind to me when we were younger. If I fell, he would help me up, and he would wipe away my tears like this. I couldn't recall the last time he showed me a hint of kindness. Chris' gaze was devoid of tenderness, replaced by a chilling coldness. Amber, apologize to your sister. I lifted my chin, straightening my spine. No, Chris never expected me to have the audacity to defy him. The time when he despised me coincided with my budding affection for him. Because I liked him, I was cautious and meticulous in his presence. With a heart whole of caution, I offer him my genuine affection, terrified that he might despise me. But no matter what I did, it was always wrong in his eyes. Nothing I did could ever measure up to Sharon. Chris was briefly surprised, then returned to the couch with Sharon in his arms. As I walked away, I heard Chris warn, Amber, don't make me angry. His bodyguard stopped me and escorted me back in front of the two of them. Chris sat there, legs crossed, looking at me leisurely. The pressure was palpable. Apologize to Sharon. Sharon flashed me a challenging smile, then turned to Chris. It's okay, Amber didn't mean it. Chris looked at her pityingly. Sharon, you're too soft-hearted. You treat her like Amber, but she's never seen you as her sister. Then, he glared at me. Anyone who hurts Sharon will pay double. I remember being cornered in an alley by older students who stole my money in elementary school. Chris had suddenly appeared, beating the one who kicked me half to death. The person who had fiercely protected me then was now protecting someone else. Perhaps my defiant attitude had angered him. Chris was intent on teaching me a lesson. He signaled the bodyguards to force me to kneel before them. Seeing me bow my head, Chris looked somewhat pleased. A bodyguard stepped forward, raising his hand to strike me. Sharon stopped him. Chris, she's still my sister, and men can be too harsh. I'm afraid they'll hurt her. If she really needs to learn a lesson, I should do it. Chris had no objections. Sharon raised her hand and slapped me twice. Her manicured nails left a cut on my cheek. The bodyguard let me go, and I fell clumsily to the ground. When I looked at Chris, there was no trace of affection left in my eyes, only intense hatred. Chris furrowed his brow at the sight. Amber, just do as you're told, and you can have whatever you want. I can accompany your son, or give you the title of my wife. I once longed to be his legitimate wife, but he was always seen publicly with Sharon. Everyone knew he was married and thought Sharon was his wife. Now that I no longer want it, he's using it to coerce and lure me into submission. I endured the pain on my face and met his gaze. No need, Chris. We're done. Perhaps because I had loved him so intensely before, he simply couldn't believe I would leave him. He sneered. What? Not coming to me? Pretending to need me to play with your son anymore? I detected a hint of scorn in his words. Before I could respond, Sharon spoke up. Amber, stop deceiving Chris. If Aaron were really dying, why would you be here alone? I couldn't take it anymore. Shut up. You have no right to mention Aaron. Sharon looked hurt. Okay, I won't mention it then. Don't be mad at me, Amber. Seeing my hostile attitude towards Sharon, Chris was thoroughly provoked. He chuckled coldly, pulled out his phone, and called his assistant, Mason Wills. To ensure I heard his words, he put the call on speaker. Mason, find out which hospital Amber's son is at. Pass the word to stop his treatment. His expression revealed a masterful strategist at work, as if this move would somehow give him control over me. I gave a dreariness smile. Mason hesitated for a moment before speaking up. Mr. Walker, Mr. Aaron has passed away. It happened the day after you disappeared.